When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Yeah, they couldn't spread some of this stuff out over a few days. They're going to dump it all on the weekend. We're going to dump it all on a Sunday afternoon, a Monday morning. We didn't want to sprinkle this out throughout the entire week.
No, that's what we'll do. We'll talk about the Rams-Packers game on Thursday. Just give everybody a heads up. We won't mention the Rams day till Thursday.
Okay.
We'll hit on the Scherzer news on Wednesday.
Perfect.
So appreciate them coming out with breaking news, finalizing the deal.
Yeah.
Today we'll just do USC.
Look,
Lakers
it's,
not
it's
until
a great
tomorrow.
Day to be a Trojan football fan. It really is. There are a million things to like about the Lincoln Riley deal. There,
yeah.
I, as far as I can tell, there aren't too many to dislike about the whole thing. It really is remarkable. The Rams were awful, Slee. Like I've been looking at Twitter this morning, and I know people. Oh, yeah, I make excuses. No, I'm not. I got no excuses. Mm-hmm. Quite frankly. There's not too many positive things to say.
That's an excuse in an excuse. I see how you're trying to take people. You're getting into their head where you're like, nope, I don't have an excuse. I'm like, no.
How do you excuse getting your ass kicked three times in a row? What's the excuse for that?
No, you can't.
I mean, that was just ugly. The Lakers, they won yesterday, but
come on, bro, one game winning streak. Don't
over Detroit.
Don't try to do that.
You nearly blew it.
Not today.
Yeah.
Okay. Today we stand tall and proud of that four-point win yesterday.
4-point win against a 4-win team. It's exactly right. You feel pretty good about that. But
Pistons,
how was Thanksgiving?
Pistons don't want anything.
No,
two wins in a row. They don't want the Lakers. They're lucky they don't have to face the Lakers until next season.
Absolutely, absolutely. Good Thanksgiving for you?
Great Thanksgiving. A lot of driving around. I think, you know, this morning, by the way, can I just say this? We are right back at, if people were thankful over the last 4 days, this morning driving in, yeah, nobody's thankful anymore. Nobody's letting me in. What
Did
is my signal for?
A little
for?
Road rage situation coming in this
What's
morning?
What's my signal for? What is it for if... Three cars in a row are not going to let me in.
No. I know what that's for. That's for I better speed up before he gets in front of me. If you, by the way, kind of
so
on
true.
You,
yeah,
if,
so
if you're putting your signal on,
yep.
That's a very clear indicator to, don't let that guy in. Got to make sure that guy doesn't get in. You just leave it there and you slide over real quick. Because if
thought,
you signal, I'm going to keep you out.
I thought I was being a good human being. Hey, guys, thinking about going left here. I'm in the middle lane. I see the left lane's going a little faster. Let me scoot over here with everybody else. They're like, it's not happening, bro.
No.
But Thanksgiving was good.
Good.
Down in San Diego for a couple of days.
Nice.
You sent me some fantastic photos of the fam, the spread, everything else.
Yeah, it was
else.
Great. We had a great Thanksgiving. We had a big group. We had great food. I got to see my folks. I got to see some aunts and uncles and cousins and everything else. It was fantastic.
Did you get into it? Did you? What? I feel like because there was a lot of people, you kind of held back a little bit.
So much food. There could have been twice as many people that we had. I think we had close to 20. I think it was maybe 17 or 18 people, and there was enough food there for 50. There was no way to get through all of that food. So I got to take a nice little ice chest home with all sorts of different things. It was fantastic. It was successful all the way around until yesterday afternoon in Green Bay when the whole weekend came crashing down on itself.
Well, you at least got a couple extra days because for me, it was the what have we said the last three Fridays in a row for the Lakers? If you're going to go down, do it on a Friday night when mm-hmm. no one's looking. Or they might be looking, but they're going to forget by the time because Saturday there's all these great college football games. Sunday there's the NFL games. And, oh, by the way, you can get a win on Sunday night, and then people won't talk about it on Monday. So as you sit back and say until Sunday afternoon, Friday night for me, Funches and I are back here. We're sitting in
real quick.
Triple overtime.
I was just going to say.
Triple overtime.
Never mind that they lost to Sacramento.
Laura was in here as well.
Which, you know, barf. He lives in triple overtime to anybody. But triple overtime on a Friday night. I mean, that had to be really a great deal of fun to go through.
I think by the time I left here, Congo Room was closing up.
Last call at the Congo
Room. Yeah, Congo Room was like, bro, we're done.
Want to hit one real quick before we call it a night? Get in there and knock one out, a little dancing before you call it. Let's start with the best news of the weekend.
Mm-hmm.
USC hit it's not even a home run, it's a grand slam. to get Lincoln Riley to come to Southern California to become their new football coach, to get somebody that has the record that he does. He's 55-10 at Oklahoma.
Yep.
Let me say that again. He's 55-10 at Oklahoma.
And now, three appearances in the college football playoff.
Three appearances in the college football playoff in 4 years. Over that same four-year window, USC went 22-20. Okay, they were as mediocre as you could possibly be. 55-10, 22-20. It's the juxtaposition is stark. I'm looking for a reason not to be giddy about this. Here's what's already happening. Mm-hmm. All of the players that had committed to Oklahoma are decommitted to Oklahoma.
Sure.
And you
got
to think that a good percentage of those guys are going to come to Southern Cal. They're going to come and be Trojans. And even if it's not all of them, you're starting to see it already. Malachi Nelson from Los Alamitos High School here, a recruit to OU, is decommitted to OU. And you wonder, he's from Southern California. You have all of these guys that are from Southern California that are now able to go there. He's young. He's dynamic. He wins. He recruits. It demonstrates that USC football is still committed to being a top-tier program. It demonstrates that it's still a top-tier job, that a guy left Oklahoma that's getting ready to go into the SEC to come to SC and restart that program. It speaks to the power of the brand. It really does.
Well, I think there's more to it than just the power of the brand. I don't know if this happens if Oklahoma and Texas don't join the SEC in the next couple of years. I say that genuinely. I don't know. But who would have thought that those schools joining a powerhouse conference was going to benefit a school like the University of Southern California? Mm-hmm. Maybe there's something to there. Maybe there isn't. I think there is.
Yeah, I agree.
But I think it comes down to a couple things for me, Trev. Think about this past season for USC. Every time we had a conversation about USC, have we had a positive conversation at all this year about the University of Southern California?
One.
Clay Helton.
When they fired Clay Helton.
That's the truth.
Yeah.
It's the truth. That was the positive story was, hey, they're moving on from a coach they know they need to move on from. I think on top of that, we've had a lot of conversations that if you get the right coach, things can change quick for USC. There's not a lot of programs that can do this. But if you get the right guy, USC could change, and it might be quicker than most of these other programs, whether it's Arizona or it's another school in the Pac-12 or it's another school that's out there. You're right that it's a kind of a shocker yesterday that, wait a minute,
they got
this
who?
Dude,
yeah.
This guy, the guy that is playing or has been one of the best coaches in college football, and he's doing it at Oklahoma. It's not like he's doing it at a program that's not a historic program, and he's had an incredible amount of success. So you kind of add all those layers to it, but ultimately at the end of the day, USC did something that they haven't done, obviously, in a long time. And now, all of a sudden, the attention is shifting towards USC, and the recruiting, I'm sure, is going to start shifting. And you're going to be able to kind of feel, if you didn't have USC tickets before, now you're already starting to think, I got to get back in the Coliseum. That's how quick things can change for a program like that.
I'm going to give Mike Bone a ton of credit here, because when he came over and he didn't fire Clay Helton right at the end, I thought that was a mistake. When he came back and let Clay Helton coach another year, in the pandemic year, you can kind of just throw it in the trash because it really doesn't even count because everything was so upside down and inside out. So, but then even after then, you come back and let him start another year. It's like, this was just a series of, dude, pull the trigger. This doesn't work. What are you waiting for? And I was very worried that he was going to go with some other older guy, an off-brand guy or something. And I said this to you a million times. He better know what he's going to do long before he's pulled the trigger.
Sure.
And I don't know if Lincoln Riley was the long-term plan or not, or whether this was the perfect storm of, you know, a bad year in Oklahoma, two losses, and combined with them going to the SEC and all of these things. But he could not have done better. And I know that, okay, Nick Saban, fine, I get it. Nick Saban's 70. Okay, as great as he is, he's at a certain point
in
his career.
Why is he going to leave? Yeah, there's no.
You just, and look.
That one's not realistic.
I think the one. Well, I didn't think Lincoln Riley was
either.
That's the whole point. I did not think they were going to get something like this. Remember when the rumor about Kirk Herbstreit floated? They were like, why would he leave Notre Dame?
Yeah.
Why would he leave a position where he's going to the college football playoff? He's got top 10 recruiting classes. They've got money. They've got prestige. They've got the legacy program.
Yep.
All of these things.
Yep.
Well, you could say the exact same thing about Oklahoma. The only thing Oklahoma is that it's in Norman, Oklahoma, which if you've ever been there, you know what I mean. If you haven't been there, you know what I mean. It's just, it's in the middle of nowhere,
that's
right?
Okay,
it's in Norman, Oklahoma.
There's a lot of really good college football programs. They're not going to be known for their locale or their geography.
You can get a really good college football program with the right geography. And all of a sudden, this changes everything. Because if SC's good, they don't have to wait in line. They are the line. Everybody queues up behind them. They are Alabama and Ohio State and Michigan and Notre Dame and Oklahoma and Georgia. These programs are just the second they're good, okay, you're in the club again. You don't have to wait. Oregon has to wait. These other programs, Clemson, even after being very good, it's like, okay, finally you're in, but now they had a bad year. Okay, you're back in the back of the line. They're not right back at the front. This could not have gone any better. He's the only thing that I can come up with, Al, as far as that, yeah, but is if it's really successful. Let's say they win the Pac-12 next year, go to the Rose Bowl, maybe get in a college football playoff in your first year or two.
Yeah.
The NFL is going to come knocking. And then you've got, but if that's your biggest problem.
Yeah, you're okay. You're okay
really
if that's
okay.
Your problem. I think that, you know, it's so easy when something like this happens. They still got a ways to go, right? Like this is the huge, huge foundational piece. So now they just laid the concrete down, and it's like, okay, now we got something to work off of. And now it's up to him, and it's up to whoever else that he brings. And you mentioned something about Mike Bone. I don't know if I completely agree with, well, he should have got rid of – it's an easy one. Yes, Clay Helton should have gone. But even if, let's say, he just didn't think he had the right guy yet, that, okay, maybe I just have to – maybe I have to string this along for a little bit longer until I get the right guy, because – I think the last thing you want to do is, well, Clay Helton is fired before the season starts, and then now you're committing to one individual for a 4-year contract or something along those lines. So Mike Bone's only been there since 2019. Mm-hmm. So, and I think you and I have talked about this where the priority was not football. The priority was cleaning up the image. The priority, there were a lot of other things that were before college football for USC, it seems like, over these last couple of years. And now, quickly, overnight, it seems like, No, it's football again, and we're going to do everything we possibly can to be one of the biggest and the baddest schools out there. And who would have thought that how pathetic the Pac-12 has been actually became a recruiting tool, in my opinion.
It's not nothing.
Who would have thought that, hey, we have this conference that does have a path and a ticket to the college football
sure.
playoff, does have a path to potentially representing, you know, college football at the absolute highest level. And you got nobody else in here that's fighting. Where you end up in the SEC, can you imagine you go out and you mentioned this in our prep call. So you had two losses in the SEC.
Yeah.
You lost to Alabama and Georgia.
Guys, Ed Orgeron won the national championship 2 years ago, and they fired him halfway through this season. That just
it's
tells you
bloodbath
all you need to
in
accept.
The SEC.
Of course it is.
Auburn should have beat Alabama this weekend. You know, I'm just using that as an example. Every single week is not a lock or a guarantee. You know what they got coming in the Pac-12? He gets to face Cal.
Well, yeah, you're 100%
right about
that.
He gets to face Arizona State. He gets to face Oregon State. He gets to face, you know, look, we've made fun of the Pac-12.
You're not wrong.
We've made fun of the Pac-12, and I just mentioned it because in a weird way, that's probably part of the recruiting tool for Lincoln Riley to say, let me go to one of the biggest, baddest, most historic college football programs where there are not that many sharks around me.
ESPN Radio is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. All guests appear via the Goodyear Hotline. We want your reaction as well about Lincoln Riley, about the Rams, about the Lakers, whatever you got going today. We want to hear it on the Dr. Pepper call-in line. ESPN Nation is presented by Dr. Pepper. College football is back, so are the fans. Return to glory with Fansville by Dr. Pepper, the one fans deserve. How many times did you guys hear me say this? Does USC care or not? Do you care? Do you care? And we know what that means. Are you willing to do the things that you need to do to win? DeMarco and I were talking about this on Wednesday when we were talking about the SC vacancy. And are you willing to do the stuff, which means pay the coach an ungodly sum of money, which means pay the assistant coaches nearly ungodly sums of money? Are you willing to maybe take a guy on your team that maybe shouldn't be there in the first place? Are you willing to, when he does something crazy, to kind of say, well, you know, we're going to work with him and start him that way? Like, these are the things that you have to be comfortable with. And it's just, that's the price of doing business in this sport. It just is. Is it right? No. Is it something that we like? No. Is it something that you'd like to see go away? Sure. Is it the price of doing business? 100% it is. I think they just made it very clear they're willing to do that because he's bringing his defensive coordinator with him. He's going to make a seven-figure sum, and that's how you build these programs. There's NIL stuff here. There's tradition. There's all of these things that come along with being the head coach at USC that are absolutely fantastic. And what you said, can you get to the national championship? Can you get to the college football playoff through the Pac-12 the way you can through the SEC, through some of these other places, and win a national championship? That is coming up next. It's Trav and Slee. Don't forget, Ask Slee coming up in, what, half an hour? What a great day. What an absolutely great day. That's next. It's Trav and Slee, 710 ESPN.
Now, let's talk about the play of the week. The pressure to follow up Hypnotic and Cognac, weighing heavy on the team. Hypnotic was in the cup, blue, and ready for the play. And boom! Añejo Tequila came in with a smooth assist to Hypnotic's tropical fruit finish. Shaken, strained, poured. It was green and good! The playmaking splash shifted the tempo. Another great cocktail from the Hypnotic team. Every season is Hypnotic and Tequila season. Hypnotic Liqueur, Bardstown, Kentucky, 17% alcohol by volume. Hypnotic reminds you to think wisely, drink wisely.
So it's not too often, Al, where we're talking about something during a segment and we just keep rolling through the break and then just roll right back in. Usually, all right, hold
I almost feel like the red button that says the mic's on interrupted me. I'm like, I was in the middle of a point. You want me to just all of a sudden start guys. Talking to everybody else? I'm having a one-on-one conversation with Travis here.
It's exactly, and you said it a few seconds ago before the light interrupted you. It was, this is exciting what SC did.
It is.
It's really exciting. When was the last time? Because let's go back. The last time USC was a genuinely exciting football program was with Pete Carroll, where it was national championships, Rose Bowl, Heisman trophies. You're playing for something over and over and over again. And then the Kiffin era was kind of a disaster. Sarkisian was a disaster. Helton, they had the one good season with Sam Darnold, but that was it. Was
you
just
can even
a
highlight that one. It was a one off, but it was oh wow, maybe there's something
but
here.
Here's the other thing: had he started Sam Darnold at the beginning of the year when he should have, when everyone knew he's the best player on the roster, but it wasn't his air quote turn because it was Max Brown's turn, and they sacrificed a couple of games early. It's like, well, there goes the national championship. Who knows how that goes? So even that comes with a little bit of a black cloud. This is the first time I think you can be genuinely exciting about what SC has done and what is about to happen, because the path to a national championship in the Pac-12 is about as clear a road as you could find right now. Oregon is the best team in the conference and has been for a while, but it doesn't feel like they're light years ahead. If anything, they've kind of come back to the rest of the Pac-12 at this point.
Oh, they've lost some key games to teams in the Pac-12.
And always
that's
do.
Not a,
and always do. And all of a sudden, you know, you and I were talking about this a little bit before the show started, that you wonder if playing a Pac-12 schedule will get you ready to win a national championship game. The path to get into the Final Four, or the Final Eight, or whatever it is that we ultimately land on, seems pretty clear. But can you get ready to beat Alabama, to beat Oklahoma, to beat Ohio State, to beat whoever?
Georgia,
Clemson, whoever the next team might be out of that part of the country. Can you get ready by beating ASU and Washington State?
So this is I'll hit it this way. I think nobody – I can't find anybody that I think would call into the show or be part of the show and say, hey, you know, this Lincoln Riley signing just doesn't make sense. I don't think anybody's going to say that.
No.
And I think you set it up perfectly for the Pac-12. Let me throw this your way. And this is why we ask, is the competition of the Pac-12 prepping you for a national championship game? Is it prepping you to be in this College Four playoff where you got a legitimate chance against Alabama? You got a legitimate chance against some of those SEC schools you're talking about, or Ohio State or Michigan, whoever ends up in it. If I told you that Lincoln Riley over the next 4 years with USC, let's say this is what he accomplished. He had three appearances in the four-team college playoff, but he never won a national championship, which is almost kind of makes you think of Oregon when you just kind of look at schools and just pay attention to the Pac-12 for a second. If I said that's what he accomplished for USC, What would be your response?
If he got them to three CFPs in
college
4 years,
playoffs,
that's a tremendous, smashing success.
So I asked the question because I think that it's no question about it, there's a clear path to getting there. But I also think, you know, when you talk about the history of USC, and you would know it better than I would, and the expectation is not just win the Pac-12.
Sure.
The expectation is not just get to the college. Today it is. In my opinion, it is today. Today is, hey, can you just turn this thing around? Can you get this thing going in the right direction? All these recruits that are going to Bama and they're going to Georgia and they're going to Oklahoma and they're all these guys coming from Southern California right here in your backyard,
yep,
that are saying, nope, we do not like what you have put together at this program. We're going to actually go all the way across the country, or we're going to go halfway across the country. I think initially you look at it and you say, hey, you just get us back in that college football playoff. That's all we want.
Mm-hmm.
But, as successful as Oregon has been, have you ever felt like they have a chance? And Oregon is not USC historically. Have you ever felt like they have a legitimate chance to go win that national championship? I think with SC, that's gonna be the conversation, right? Can you not just get us there? Can you continue a tradition that is so rich in history?
Yeah, I think they can. And it's as simple as this. While Oregon got close, Washington got into a college football playoff. We've seen some teams get in there. Oregon has played for two national championships in the last, I don't know, 15 years or so.
Yeah.
Haven't punched the ticket, but gotten pretty close.
They're in the mix.
They're in the mix for, yep, sure. Chris Peterson took Washington to a thing. Alabama torched them and, mm-hmm, whatever. Okay. Washington and Oregon are not USC. USC doesn't have to be anybody other than what they've been historically. To your point that this is, you know, USC was the team in the 60s and 70s. USC was the team under Pete Carroll. They don't have to reinvent the wheel. They just have to go back to doing. They don't have to get in line behind anybody else. USC plays as good of a schedule as anybody out of the conference. They play Notre Dame every year. There's another team that they'll play every year that's very, very good. For instance, this year, BYU, the team that played on Saturday, that's a top 25 non-conference opponent that they go and play. They'll play Alabama. We've seen them play them. They'll play Auburn. They'll play these schools. They'll play Ohio State in a non-conference game. They'll play Michigan State. They play a real schedule, so they are getting ready. And here's the biggest thing of all. You look at these other rosters, the Alabamas, the Georgias, the Oklahomas, the Ohio States. Look at what's on their team. Look at their player sheet. There's a bunch of kids from L.A.
Mm-hmm.
They don't have to do anything other than keep the players here. When you see everybody that's decommitting from Oklahoma, Lincoln Riley's going to get these guys. And if they start to win, they're going to get more guys. And if they start to win, they're going to be able to go into Texas and say, I'll take the best wide receiver. I'll take the best defensive lineman from Louisiana. I'll take that linebacker from Ohio. I'll take that kid from Pennsylvania. This is what they did forever and ever and ever. They dip into Texas. They dip into Jersey. They dip into the Midwest. And they just take the best players from all over the country. They don't have, it's not that the Pac-12 won't serve them well. They're going to have better players than the team in the SEC. They're going to have better players than Ohio State the way they did under Pete Carroll, mm-hmm, the way they did under John Robinson, the way they did under
John
McKay.
That's a good observation.
Look, at the end of the day, nobody has to be a genius. If I have better players than you, it's really hard for you to beat me.
And you have foundationally,
yes,
a coach that you think can drive everything, and you have a program that's committed to, what do we need to do? What do you need from us? You need that assistant coach? Let's go get him. You need to make sure that the Coliseum is packed with 85,000-90,000 people. That's going to happen as well. I bring all this up, and I think this goes back to how we kind of started the conversation. This is pretty cool. It really is, because it's one thing when the Dodgers sign a really good player. It's another thing when the Lakers go out and they trade for Anthony Davis.
Sure.
It shifts everything in the city. USC has not been talked about for so long now, it feels like, right? It's been such
10 years, really,
a back page conversation. And instantly you went out and arguably got the best coach, who, by the way, was not available, right? You went out and got the best coach out there, and now you just feel like you can see it. You can almost like, wow, I can see a year from now or 8 months from now, 9 months from now, where USC is starting to play games where you're starting to feel it. You and I, first thing we're doing on a Monday
is talking
about
USC. Do you want to come over on Saturday
USC
night and watch the USC game? When was the last time somebody said that?
Right? How about us just having a conversation that's positive about the program? We haven't done that really in years.
Let's try our first call on the Dr. Pepper call-in line. Let's go to Long Beach and Patrick. Patrick, you're on with Travis and Slee. What's up, Patrick?
Thanks, guys, as always. Two quick points that I'm going to try to quickly make is, Travis, you kind of took the words out of my mouth, but one, Lincoln Riley gets a fresh start at USC, and what I mean by that is he can fix the little mistakes that he had in Oklahoma, one being defense. And you think a 38-year-old almost genius isn't going to look at that, of course he's going to fix that. The other thing is, SC is an easier recruiting ground than Oklahoma. I'm sure. Sorry. What you just said, we're getting the players back. Not only are we getting the players back, can you imagine this guy sitting down in people's homes and saying, come to Southern California, come to L.A., come to USC.
Or stay. Stay in L.A.
Exciting. Stay. Stay. Thanks, Alan. Thanks, Kevin.
Hi, buddy.
Yeah, you got it, Patrick. No, the pitch is pretty easy. I've won where I've been, but I want to do it here because I think we can do even greater things here. There are more players. If you just threw a chalk line around, yeah. You know, from the USC campus, it made a 30-mile radius around and didn't recruit anybody else, you can beat anybody. You can beat anybody. The players are here. The players are here. They're in Texas. They're in Florida. They're in Louisiana. They're in places like that. But if you just got your guys here, this is what Pete Carroll did. He had every good player in L.A. stay in L.A. And, oh, Lindell White's from Denver. Okay, I'll take you. Brian Cushing's from New Jersey. Okay, I'll take you. Like, you're just picking the best players from the other parts of the country, and you keep the best players here. Matt Barkley was from here. Matt Leinart was from here. Carson Palmer was from here. All of these guys that are just unbelievable. Keyshawn Johnson is from here. They're just loaded up in this.
All right, let's take one more quick call. Let's go to Drew in downtown LA. What's going on, Drew?
What's going on, Slee? I want to know why they're attacking you on Twitter, you and your burner, calling you the cheater, Venice Mace and Mace Mafia. Can we get the Godfather voice one more time, Slee?
That's
let them know that cheating's not in your bones.
That's the first I've heard of it, Drew. I'll have to check the burner accounts. I was not aware of this. Appreciate you calling in, Drew.
I thought we had to know what he's talking about.
Yeah, I thought we were going USC right here.
If you want to get a deal,
randomly.
You have a burner account that you'd like to share with the group?
I don't have a burner account. Oh. Remember Morales was mentioning on Tuesday somebody
I don't pay attention to that too much. Yeah. Anyway. SC's got a new coach. The Rams, Slee.
What happened? What's happening over there?
Well, I know exactly what's happening, and I'll tell you next. It's Travis Slee, 710 ESPN.
10 seconds on the clock. How many things can you name that are always growing? Your relationships. Your skills. Your customer base. How about businesses on Shopify? Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage, Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/network, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/network now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/network.
We all know breakfast is an important part of your day, but sometimes when you're traveling for business, you end up staying at a hotel that doesn't offer any. You know what happens? You grab a cup of coffee and skip the meal entirely. We've all been there. But if you book a room at La Quinta by Wyndham, you can enjoy their free Bright Side breakfast featuring delicious baked goods, fruit, eggs, yogurt, and waffles. And really, who doesn't want to start their day with a fresh hot waffle? Tonight, La Quinta, tomorrow you shine. Book direct at LQ.com.
Before I get to the Rams and what they're not doing right now, happy 94th birthday to Vin Scully today. How great is that, Slee? There are not too many people. I don't want to say there are too many. There might not be anybody.
Yeah.
That I don't know. I've never spoken to Vin Scully. I've never had the pleasure of meeting him. Unfortunately, I would love to do all of those things. I've never met him. But I feel like he's a part of my life. I feel like I know him. I feel like he's an uncle or a grandfather or something. And it's just it's so cool to see him, 94 years old. So he's on Twitter. It's fantastic.
Well,
happy birthday.
To play off of that, yesterday was Chick Hearn night at Staples Center. His birthday was the 27th.
Yeah.
So November 27th. So obviously two legends here in L.A., two legends period. So
we'll play a couple of Vin Scully calls for you throughout the day, just kind of celebrate Vin's 94th. Rams are bad. I would love to give you this is what's going on, or this is what's happening, if they can get this cleaned up, or if they can fix that. Fact of the matter is, here's what's happened in the most blunt terms possible.
Yep.
The Rams have gotten their butts kicked three games in a row in exactly the same way. That's a problem. By somewhere between decent teams to very good teams. I think San Francisco is a decent team. I think Tennessee is probably a little bit better than decent. And the Green Bay Packers are very, very good. But all three of those teams have beat them in exactly the same way. They've dominated them physically. They have not allowed the Rams to get a pass rush going. They get early leads. The Rams have turned the ball over. The special teams are terrible. The play calling is suspect. Mm-hmm. The desperation that's coming off some of the things the Rams do is very, very odd. They cannot make big plays, or if they do, they're few and far between. They're constantly chasing points. The only thing I can come up with where the Rams are with six games left in the season that feels kind of sort of okay is that no one else in the league is particularly good either.
Yeah.
That there hasn't been that team that's kind of separated, because the rest of this, and Matthew Stafford in particular, have been terrible the last 3 weeks.
But that's the problem, you know, when you say that the rest of the league hasn't, nobody's kind of gone out of their way and say, okay, yep, that's the favorite in the AFC, that's the favorite in the NFC. The issue, Trav, is you've lost three games in a row,
mm-hmm.
and, you know, you tell me, for doing the pre and you're doing the half, you're doing your hit. Nobody's going to be more into it than you are for the broadcast that you're doing. You never really felt like they're in these games.
Never.
And that
never.
That's the part that I think pulls me away the most with the Rams, because we've had the conversation, okay, yeah, but if they lose to the Packers 27-24 and they hit a field goal to end the game, and you know what? Yeah, you lost the game, but you're in it. Could have gone either way. Let's take our chances in January if we have to go back out there. That's, you know, something that you've mentioned. I never thought in that Titans game. I never thought in the Niners game. And even the Packers game from yesterday, do not look at the score. If you didn't see the game and you see 36-28,
very misleading.
This is not a one-score game or anything along those lines. That's the thing I walk away from is they have got, in a couple of the games, out-muscled, ran the ball down their throat, time of possession.
They can't get off the field.
Lopsided, right?
Yeah.
And then there's the mistakes that all come with it. Because that there is not a team that stands out in the NFC or the AFC, that's what would concern me more about the Rams. Three good opponents, one really good. There's no point that I think you felt in the fourth quarter of any three of those games, Rams are still in this thing.
They haven't beaten a team with a winning record since September. It's December in 2 days. Okay, that's a long time.
Oh my gosh.
They have not beat a winning team. And by the way, one
oh,
of those.
Oh, that's right. They go Indy, Tampa, yeah.
Now that Indy lost yesterday, they're back at 500. So you've got exactly one win over a 500 team. That came against Tampa very week three of the season. So that's one part. You said something that I think is interesting, that at no point in those three games, Tennessee, San Francisco, Green Bay, did you feel like the Rams are going to win that game. You know who else I think had a similar feeling?
Sean McVay.
Yep.
Yeah.
You know how I know that? Give me one other reason.
Did you hear Aikman on the call yesterday?
Yeah, I was.
Early on, first quarter, where he's basically saying, it seems like the Rams are desperate. They're going for it on fourth down. I can't remember the score. Was it
7-0? 7-0. It's fourth and one from your own 29-yard line. It's the first quarter of the game, and you're going all in like it's the fourth quarter with 2 minutes to go, and you're down four?
I don't know why that one hit me, but Aikman saying, it seems desperate, and then the camera pans in McVay, you know, like kind of walking up and down the sideline, and then after they don't get the fourth down, back at McVay, it's like, guys,
what you're telling your team is
play the long game.
We can't afford to get down anymore. We're not going to come back. When Sean McVay and the Rams were cranking, mm-hmm. right, a few years ago, and even at certain points last year, but it was that just give me the ball last, we're going to win the game. Just give me the ball enough times and we're going to win the game. But this speaks to two different things. Number one, he doesn't think he's going to get the ball enough because his defense can't get off the field. He knows that we saw the Packers to open up the third quarter. They drive, I think it was 7 minutes and 29 seconds. They drive the field, score a touch. Rams go three and out. Boom. They burn like 20 seconds off. Their defense is right back out on the field. So you're looking at, A, I'm not going to have as many opportunities to score. And B, I don't know if we're going to be able to stop anybody. I don't know if we're going to be able to go score for score with these guys. So we have to go. And it wasn't just that, Al. Go back to the game against San Francisco where they had that whack fake field goal towards the end of the first half. We've seen some fakes that they've tried. This is Detroit Lions kind of stuff. Bad teams try to trick good teams.
Sure.
Good teams.
Because you don't feel like you have a chance to win unless you do some.
Good teams line up and say, let's play. I'm going to get enough stops on you. Can you stop me enough? And that's not what's going on. Let's go to the play call towards the end of the game. Now, the Rams are chasing points. The game is more than likely over anyway. But there's that, you know, hey, score a quick touchdown, onside kick, kick a bomb field. It's possible. They go for it with a running play on third down with time expiring, no timeouts left, and they get stuffed. But it, even if they had made it, it doesn't matter. The clock keeps running.
Mm-hmm.
They burned another 30 seconds off the clock for no reason that I can come up with. They end up kicking the field goal anyway, which if you'd thrown the ball to the end zone, three things happen. Touchdown, incomplete, and you kick the field goal anyway. Okay, fine. You're exactly where you were, only you got 30 seconds or so of clock time. It made no sense. And we've talked about this a million times. How many times are we going to see them do the same thing? Run the same plays over and over again. Here's my pitch. Here's my pitch. Here's my pitch. Well, it's not working, dude. Go to the curveball. Let's go to a second thing. And I have not seen a second thing from this team all season long, in particular this last 3 weeks. It's incredibly frustrating.
And they almost got lucky, you can say, because they hit two home runs.
Yeah.
Right? And so it's I don't even know if that's indicative of the score as well.
It's
that
not.
Even when they did score, it wasn't, well, we just owned you for a 80-yard drive or something along those lines. You mentioned one thing about them going for it on fourth down. Was it in the second quarter, I'm trying to think here, where the Packers had the longest drive in the NFL without kicking a field goal or scoring a touchdown?
Mm-hmm.
I don't know how many plays it was, but they had the ball for a long time. Even that is demoralizing.
Sure it is.
That you spend that much time with the ball, and then, oh, by the way, we're going to down the ball within the 10-yard line or something. You have to come 90 yards, and it seems like the Rams are a step behind on every single possession.
Offense is stagnant. The defense can't get off the field, and their special teams are downright bad. And then you've got a coach that seems to be struggling to make some adjustments. The good news is there are six games left. The bad news is five of them are games that you could potentially lose. Troy Aikman also said if they don't get this squared away, they might not win another game the rest of the season. We'll hear from that coming up in a little bit. But, Al, you know how this goes.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPNpods. That's amazon.com/ESPNpods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
All right, I'm going to start with this one just because I think it's hilarious that he sends them every single week.
Kay.
This is from Capitano Matt,
Kay.
Who has a very specific lane on Ask Slee where he asks sumo questions.
That makes sense.
Okay, so Taruna Fuji secured a commanding victory during the November Basho. Do you think he might become as dominating as Hakuho?
No,
hashtag
I don't.
Slee.
There's a lot of, I want to say hype. Right? There's a lot of hype, but
on Taruna Fuji?
Taruna Fuji. And I don't know, me personally, I don't think I got to see it for myself. I got to see it for myself.
Even though during the November Basho where he dominated.
Can I tell you something? One of my regrets in the world of travel.
Yeah, you've been to Japan, you mentioned.
Went to Japan. Obviously, sumo wrestling is huge out there.
Sure.
Didn't freaking go to a match.
You didn't go to a match. Oh, that would be fun.
How cool would that be?
That would be very cool.
You know, actually, also, where was I? Was I in Hiroshima?
Glendora?
I was in Glendora. I was in Hiroshima.
Okay, sure.
And I was trying to go to a baseball game out there because, you
the
know,
carp.
Obviously that's fantastic as well.
Yeah.
They're big into baseball. And when I was there, they were on the road. I'm like, oh, okay, this is perfect. So I didn't get to see any of those sporting
events.
0
for 2. All right, let's go to Jacob, who says, hashtag Ask Slee. I like this. Why do fat chance and slim chance mean the same thing? It's a great question.
Can you help me with that?
I ain't got nothing. This is Ask Slee. It's not Ask Travis.
Yeah, but this is your creation.
Nope, you don't get off the hook that easy.
Fat
chance and slim chance do mean the same thing. Yeah, fat chance. Yeah, slim chance.
I never use fat chance. I only use slim chance.
Yeah? Fat chance is fun to say. Ah, fat chance, Slee. Fat chance.
It's like you're coming after me.
That's what I mean. It's good, right?
I feel like fat chance is much more pointed.
Yeah,
oh, yeah,
it
fat
is.
Chance.
Yeah, it doesn't have, like, slim chance means there's a slim chance. Fat chance means, nah, you're cooked. You got no chance at all. Anthony Gaeta. When Slee is at an exceptionally long stoplight, is he the guy that gets impatient and puts his vehicle in park so you can take your foot off the brake?
No, but I will inch towards a little bit, go front as if the sensors are going to go off and say, hey, this guy's been waiting for 30 seconds now. Let's get this green light moving. And the only thing that ends up happening is now I'm in the crosswalk.
So now I got to go back. No, you got to go back to get the sensor, right?
Now I have to go back. Well, I started where I was at the right place, and then I'm figuring, okay, well, I'll go up a little bit. And then next thing I know, I'm backing up because an elderly lady needed to actually cross the street and the crosswalk is on.
Yeah, hey, lady, I'm trying to get this light to turn green. Will you please stay on
the
corner?
Hey, let's go.
There?
Keep it moving.
How long are you waiting at that red light to make that turn before you say, bleep
Depends
it,
where
I'm,
you are.
I'm going through it. I'm not waiting anymore.
I think of one specific area in Pasadena where I've done the, okay, all right, looks like we're clear on that side. Okay, now it's time to go. Maybe give it a good 20, 25 seconds. But if you go during, you can't do it during the. When I'm driving back from Staples Center at 11:30 at night, everything's fair game.
What's up, Emily?
Well, my question is, do you put the put in park when you're in a long drive-through line? Because I do that all the time. Like if I'm at In-N-Out and it's not moving, I put it out and put it in park.
I don't do the park.
No, that's
like
not
I
my move.
Just keep the foot on the brake.
Maybe my leg is so heavy and automatically I don't have to
just
press down
lightly
on it.
Let off and let that kind of take me. No, I don't do that. By
I
the way,
like
can
it's
I
my
just
final frustration?
Can I say this real quick? We started the show off with this. Come on, if my signal's on, let me in the lane.
Oh, dude, that's 100% on you. That's bad. So you've been in LA a long time. You should know better. Never signal.
I will allow somebody in.
That's your problem.
If they signal. And they are going out of their way to let me know, hey, I'm just trying to get in that left
what
lane.
What you do, if you signal and somebody lets you in, then you give them the courtesy wave, that's fine. Yep. But you got to give them the courtesy wave. But if you announce your intention to move in front of me, that's your problem. I had a predicament
a week ago. It was kind of funny because his window was down, my window was down, and he wasn't letting me in. And this wasn't one of those, this is me trying to get on the freeway. Like I'm in the right lane because I have no choice. Now I just need to get in the left lane, eventually end up on the 110. And we're both looking at each other. I'm like, what are you doing? And he just kept going up.
My wife has heard me scream at other drivers. Like, I'm convinced that people drive the way I do, where I intentionally keep people out
it's
of
like,
the lane.
What? Like, what are we, bro?
You see how that guy sped up? Right when I sped up, he sped up. If I slow down, he slowed down. He's doing it on purpose. And she'll say to me, just because you do that doesn't mean everybody else does it.
Once a week, we should have Ask Slee, but it's just traffic. It's
well,
just
there's
like
plenty of them.
Predicaments about traffic situations.
When a group of people are singing happy birthday, does Slee wave his arms around like he's the conductor? Hashtag Ask Slee. Happy birthday to you. You doing the arms?
I gotta incorporate that. That's a good move.
I do that.
That's a good move because then all of a sudden it looks like you put it together. You set the birthday up. Like you're in total control of the situation. We really had nothing to do with it.
Well, yeah, I don't like this. Therefore, I'm going to take control of it. So I have a little say in this.
You kind of like you putting your arms up, like okay, higher, higher, right?
Birthday as the arms come up. Yeah, you got to do it like that. For some reason, rookie is a popular topic on Ask Slee today.
Okay, I was crazy this morning.
John in Huntington Beach of Fullerton. When walking rookie in the neighborhood this past weekend, how many my house next did you drop on people putting up their Christmas lights? Hashtag Ask Slee.
Okay, so was in Lake Arrowhead. I think I mentioned that to you. I think he realized that he's actually in an environment that's his own environment. It's a golden retriever. It's just freaking woods up there, and it's beautiful, and there's trees. This guy was running all over the place like a madman. I am not the one that's looking at everybody else's lights and saying, okay, I'm coming up next. I'm probably procrastinating. Did you set up everything after Thanksgiving?
No. My wife did, though.
Oh, she did?
House looks great. Got Christmas lights on the house. It's beautiful.
She did a wonderful job. She made it happen?
Yeah, no, my wife is gung-ho on the holidays, and she wanted them. Look, I was doing the Rams all day yesterday. I didn't have an opportunity to do it. Saturday, played a little golf, didn't have an opportunity to do it. Friday, we were coming back from Santa Barbara, didn't have an opportunity to do it. So
a lot going on.
She took it upon herself.
She probably doesn't want you to help her.
That's 100% true. TFP, does Lincoln Riley have two first names or two last names?
Two last names. Two last names. No question about it.
Riley's a first name.
It's also a last name. Lincoln, we know, is a last name.
And a first one, apparently. That one's going to tie my brain in a knot for the rest of the day.
I wonder if there was a point where Mike Bone said to himself, I don't know what I'm going to do here. Am I calling him? Do I call him Lincoln? Do I call him Riley?
Coach.
Does he only take one of those two?
When in doubt.
It's a confusing situation.
Coach. One more very quick one. This is from Andy. Does Slee
Frank
hold his
Vogel. It's easy.
Yeah, that's easy.
It's a first and a last.
Does Slee hold his nose when he jumps in the pool? Hashtag ask Slee.
No, I do not.
You're not an 86-year-old woman?
But it's smarter. It's definitely smarter. I should reconsider.
I can just picture you dip your toe in, pinch the nose, and in goes Slee into the shallow end.
And then that's awesome.
Dog paddle to the side so you don't get any water up your nose along the way. All right. Talked about the Rams and the bad three-game skid that they're on. We're super fired up about Lincoln Riley coming to SC. The Lakers are next, Slee, because they've played a month's worth of basketball, and they are in exactly the same spot. That's next. It's Trav and Slee.